Session number 13391, reel number 4.
Park Reel 4.
Mm-hmm. Well, you said that when it was bombing up, where there was going out, one ray gunner, see, he sat in there and my mate closed his door and he said, I'll be alright till I get back. And that was 8 hours and he'd sit there for 8 hours in the ray gunner. And when we were servicing them, everybody helped. If the electricians, if you wanted something checking, would say, well, will you check that switch? And they would check the switch. So whatever trade it was, bombing, electrical engineers, we all helped. It was a marvellous spirit in the RAF. Wonderful. And so they all mucked in, and the thing was to get it done right. And so there's no... I mean, for some people... would write occasionally you got people like a bit pacifist, but you put a bomb and then a present from Hull, you know, don't do that. But normally it was done without any rancour or anything. You just hoped, and when he saw them on the later raids, when we put 1,000 over, and a friend of mine, he was in one raid where we put 800 lanks over, I think it was Dresden, one of those, 800 lanks in 80 minutes. And we lost quite a lot by collisions, actually. And he was, they would just drop their bombs, he was the flight, he was a pilot, eh? And the 4,000 pounder, each aircraft had a 4,000 pounder, 6 500 bomb containers and 6 500 bombs. They're an enormous load. And when the 4,000 pounds, like a big, enlarged dustbin with about 9 detonators on it, 5 detonators, and it come hurtling past and it just missed the wingtip. But the next one was a 50 pound incendiary and it stuck in the wing, so it come through the wing and it stuck in the wing, but fortunately for the crew it didn't explode. And so then they had to work on the ailerons to get the control, and he said they crept back to England, and when they landed there just about 20 gallons left in the tank, and that was all. And the first man out was a Canadian observer, and he fell down and kissed the ground, you know. Kissed the ground. And so you get this, there's I think the whole thing was too vast, too big for personal vindictiveness.
But if a German pilot had been shot down over Hull and captured by the population, would they have done him any harm?
No. No, you'd only got one or two madmen, but here and there, no. There was quite a number anyway, weren't there? Quite a number taken in. And even the prisoner wars, they didn't want to go back, you know. They were welcomed and worked on the land.
What about the actual start of the bombing in Hull? What do you remember, the first raids on Hull personally?
Oh, that first raid was on Rustenburg Street.
Do you remember it personally?
Oh, yes, I
what do you remember about it?
We remember the... Because we saw the first raid on Sol's End. But the first night raid was on Rustenburg Street. Anyway, the bombing and the clashing. Then people went next year to see what had happened, so it was daylight. And all the houses, but apart from the thing actually happening and the people who were actually killed or injured, it didn't have any great impact. We'd been threatened. We'd been threatened from the beginning of the war with this mass destruction and thousands of casualties. If you look at the official records, they expected somewhere about 3 million casualties or something. And the reality was nothing like that. It was nothing like that. And the first raids were fairly small. He says there's training grounds, weren't they? It was fairly small. it wasn't till the Blitz after the Battle of Britain, which won the war. After the Battle of Britain, then Hitler turns attention. You see, he couldn't win. He couldn't. People always say, "Well, why didn't he invade Britain?" And we couldn't have stopped him. He couldn't get across the Channel while the Navy was in being. They'd have blown him out the water. He couldn't sink the Navy till he defeated the RAF. And this is where he lost. And so the Battle of Britain was vital, and that's what saved the won the war. So after that, he had to turn his attention to destroying. See, Hitler said, or Goring said, "I will rub out your cities." And when I was in Germany, I was a guest of a German architect on a holiday in Germany, and we went round his little town, I think it was in Augsburg, it was, and he was pointing out the things which we took the top of his house, made into a bungalow, and what the RAF had done. And was having coffee in a little coffee shop, and I said to them, "Goring said, I'll rub out your cities," and we said, "Anything you can do, mate, we can do better." And we did. I said, in the First World War, Lloyd George said, "We'll put the guns wheel to wheel and we'll blow the song saws out." I said, in this one, we said, "We'll put the aircraft bombers wingtip to wingtip." And we did. And that absolutely flattened it. The only error which we did was bombing Dresden. And that wasn't our fault. I think that was the pressure of the American Jewish opinion. They were so intent on punishing the Germans for Belsen and the rest of it. And I think that was the only state. And so poor old Bomber Harris got the blame.
What are your own personal memories of the big May Blitz on Hull in 41?
I was out of that because I was at Finningley. I was, so I could only be on the fringes and see it. But what happened then, you see, he went right round to bomb all the ports. He bombed Liverpool, Belfast, and all the ports, and Hull. And they said there was 8 miles of fire that night, and that's when most of the big damage in the centre occurred. And the thing is that, Hull was a big timber importing centre as well, you see, so there's bags of inflammable material. But strangely enough, I'm in the Works Educational Association, like with Monty, and we organise classes. And I just mentioned this at the other time, was in the Black Bow. We'd been to see Wilberforce House on his centenary or something, and then it was over there, decided to stop, and went to the Black Boy for a drink in High Street. And I took the landlord, and he said, he was in the Guards during the war. He said, "But when I look up on the night," he said, "run up the stairs." I know it's daft, he said, it doesn't affect the daughter, but he said the place is haunted. And they said that there's supposed to be a tunnel from here to Holy Trinity, and the priest used to nip up for a quickie, you see. And so I said, "Well, it's a good idea for a class, these historic pubs," because the George was where Wilberforce ran his elections, and it's where they refused Charles I. And the plotting chamber is still there. And so we picked 7 of these pubs. But the thing that was interesting when we got to the George was that the old 1620 map of Hull, it's produced all with the wall around it in the river. And inside there, Hull was exactly the same. It had, by a miracle, one bomb hit the Guildhall and knocked the spire off, one of those things. I don't think the Holy Trinity, apart from maybe some blast damage, but Parliament Street, Whitefield Gate, Low Gate, and all the old town were spared. And I thought that was a miracle. All that fight, and inside the old town was exactly the same. There was just a bit, and it's all gone now, because they started a scheme in Birmingham. You remember the Polson case? Well, I did it a year's adult education at Faircroft in Selly Oak, and they ripped out marvellous property. And this was the thinking at that time, break up the centres. And so they did a little bit of it, but they never got a lot of it done. And so hope we've saved the biggest part of it. Now, the building. And we had a meeting in the Guildhall when Schultz was there at the time. And I said, you know, with then a quarter of a million people coming on this ferry. I said, lots of them want to see the better, they don't want to see the shops, the better shops at home. But they don't want to see the old places, what's left. I said, you people at the Labour Party are busy destroying it. I said, where you should be building now, not is at Bransholm, it's inside the town. Build up the town. And we've got it now. We've got, if you have time, if you have a time, go down to Vicky Dock and see that new development there. They've got an esplanade on the Humber.
But let me bring you back to the war.
Yes, that's right. I'm sorry about that.
And
I'm easily diverted.
I want to ask you about one final political question, and that is, you know how in London there was some agitation by the Communist Party trying to whip up feeling against the government for lack of provision of shelters, and so they used the tubes. Was there anything, what was the feeling towards the government in Hull during the war? Did people feel that the government was doing a proper job, or were people critical?
I can't remember any criticism of the war of the government at all. We haven't got, or didn't have, the multiplicity of races and people on there. There was a communist party, came up a bit after the war, because the daughter joined the Young Communists and rapidly was disillusioned. And Frank Swift was a communist down our street. I remember Frank Swift being a communist. And he joined during the 26th General Strike. He joined the Special Police. He was a good communist. But beyond that, no. There was nothing like that. Nothing like that at all. There was no need for it. There was they'd built shelters wherever they could, street shelters, and they saved lots and lots of lives. But when they got one down Cleveland Street, I think it was Egton Street, one of those streets, it got a direct hit, and I think it killed 150. And so there was everybody that could was given a shelter, Anderson Shelter, and everyone some still have them. If you go around, you still see these brick shelters. They made them into sheds. They're still there. And so that didn't occur. Some of the queer things that did occur was one in the centre of Hull was the Pearl Assurance Building, and there was the Mecca Cafe, which was a great cafe in those days. And across that, which is still there, is a Punch Hotel, which is just dogged up. It's lovely that pass out the Punch Hotel. Now, the landlord of the Punch Hotel at that time, his family, went across to the Pearl Building for safety. They lost out. And
because the Pearl Building was destroyed.
Destroyed. And I think they just concreted over them, actually.
And the Punch Hotel
was never touched. No, it was all right. Still there.
They concreted over the bodies, you know?
I expect so. I can't say that's authentic, but I understand the grapevine. It was too bad, so they just concreted over them.